You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Folio's diversified, my 401k is maxed, but my savings account just sat there until I switched it to Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Now my interest rate is flying high like it's premium economy. With 6 extra inches of legroom, I'm stretching out my money. I'm earning more than peanuts, signature snack mix actually. I've got a better savings account, feels like I got upgraded for free. Thanks to Marcus, now I'm getting ahead.
Group one, now ready to earn more.
My savings is flying first class, wheels up and ready to soar.
You can money. With an online savings account from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, you could earn much more interest than with the largest banks. Sign up at Marcus.com.
Comparison made to the 3 largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of January 21st, 2020 may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey. Hey, who that? Who that? Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to with one of Satan home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is tired of missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table's turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, who that, that got that flame? So don't worry about my name, I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Got a little extra pep in my step. I think we all do here in Memphis, Tennessee. Anyone that watched that Memphis Grizzlies team last night handed to Portland, 111-104. I think you're at work, John. You got a little extra pep. You got a little extra jipper in you, don't you?
Yes. Well, you should, because that was a good win for the Grizz last night. And there really was never – I mean, I guess they made a run there at the end of the first half, but – it never really felt
what
like it was in doubt.
And no one had a better view than you. So, I mean, you should be walking on air, I would think, coming in here.
Yeah, well, it was a fun time last night. There's no doubt about it. And we will discuss that game last night.
You're going to tell us about how that experience was. I'm going to make you, even if you don't feel like it.
We will discuss what the win means for the Grizzlies. We are officially into the All-Star break, and you got to feel good if you're the Memphis Grizzlies. A 4-game cushion now.
Yes.
That's a nice soft pillow, 4 games.
Yeah, you feel like you can relax a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will get into that all day on the show today. At 11:25, Myron Metcalf's going to join us. We will talk about Ja Morant. We will talk about Memphis-Cincinnati, big game tonight. I'll give you an update on Precious Achiuwa.
Okay.
Lots more
Precious
to come.
Achiuwa.
Is he going to play? Is he not going
that
to play?
That song is jarring. I'm just going to be real honest with you. Does it jar you when you hear it?
Yes.
It jars me.
I'll pull
that
out of the stack.
No, we don't want you to pull it out, Brad. It's so much of the fabric and the firmament of this show. We don't want to change that
now.
Is it jarring? The answer, and that's not anybody's fault.
Maybe it jars him back to life tonight.
That's not anybody's fault.
Maybe.
But it is what it is. So Myron Metcalf's going to join us at 11:25. 12:25, Brevin Knight is going to join us. Mr. Keep It Real. He was on the broadcast last night, so we'll talk to him.
He's so real.
He's so real.
Let's be real. When Dylan Brooks was shooting too much, Brevin's like, man, Dylan's shooting a little bit too much. Need to focus on the other parts of his game. Like, that's Mr. Keep It Real for me. I'm sure it is for you all as well. Like, again, you can respect Dylan Brooks and even, you know, guy get his contract. Last night, he was broke. Let's just be real. And that's and those opportunities sometimes, hey, you focus on your defense and the other things. He kept shooting. Brevin, Mr. Keep It Real, even pointed that out. That's why we love him.
Yeah, so he'll join us at 12:25. And like I said, we'll talk to him about the win last night. Ja Morant continues to be awesome. He damn near had a double-double in the first quarter, I think it was. He had like 10-7 in the first quarter.
He got in the zone.
I mean, that was insane.
The toggle binocular zone.
He finished with 20-9, but it was another. You know, was it the most special job performance? No, but the bar is so high.
Right.
But he was awesome last night once again for the Memphis Grizzlies as they get the win. And then at 125, basketball Yoda is going to join us. Rashad Phillips. Everything he touches turns to gold. So we will talk to him at 125.
Did you see the news on him that he just became, we're going to ask him what all it entails, but I don't know if you saw it. He became like the voice of the EYBL.
Oh, really?
He's one of the voice, I think the voice of the EYBL just got announced. I saw it on his Twitter. A bunch of people are congratulating him. That's obviously the big circuit, the Nike circuit.
Yes.
The circuit that Norton Herd and Team Thad will be a part of this year, obviously.
That's right.
Switching over. Be interesting to see what all that entails. He's a guru. He knows it all. I mean, he saw Trey Young beforehand, told us all, going to be a star. I got that one right. John was wrong on that one, but I've been wrong about the rest of them. No, this guy's, like you said, a Yoda.
So we will talk to Rashad.
You caught that, right? I was wrong.
Yes.
I've been wrong about everybody else.
You
Malik Monk, Lonzo, you like to hold me to.
That's okay. I mean, I've been.
Lonzo just had 10-10, y'all. All he does is just kind of be good. But to your point,
I was wrong
not
about
all star yet.
I was wrong about Trae Young. I'll own that one.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
I'll own that
one. Oh, yeah.
That's about
like
it, though.
Like all star by second season wrong.
Yes, but that's the only one I've ever been wrong on.
Stop.
Oh, and Skull. So anyway, Rashad Phillips will join us at 1:25. So that is the program today. We're obviously looking very forward to it. Grizzlies win. They're going into All-Star weekend with a dub on a dub, and it was an important one. I mean, we talked about it all day yesterday and how this was, you know, a game in mid-February that carried real implications, that carried real stakes. And the Memphis Grizzlies, for the most part, I mean, controlled this game. I mean, it was never really, you know, it never really felt like to me that Portland was going to threaten to win this game. I think the score was a lot closer than the game really was, if that makes sense. I mean,
well, it actually does. You were in control for the most of it.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I mean, and so that was that was an encouraging win in a number of ways, and I think maybe that's the most important thing is that the Grizzlies knew they had to win this game to really feel comfortable coming up on that road trip that we've talked about after the break, and they handled the Blazers.
Well, we said there wasn't a ton to lose. You know, what we called it going in was a big statement opportunity for you. You've sort of announced your arrival with the start that you've had last night with a team that wants to knock you out, and with its top guy, Damian Lillard, at least starting this game healthy, right, chance to make a statement. Well, you do that, John, in a way that I don't think any of us expected. Again, even with where this team is, last night, look at your three pillars. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, Dylan Brooks, they go 14 of 45. None of them have it offensively,
yep.
Okay? None of them have it offensively. And yet, for the most part, to your point, you're able to control that game. Well, how do you do it? You do it defensively. Like, this is a team now that's so locked in defensively over the last few weeks, it's been one of the best in the league. I think top 10, obviously, in defensive efficiency. I think it's reached top 5 now here lately. But again, it's guys inside understanding that, look, even when my shot's off, right, this doesn't happen with young teams. I can, you know, be better defensively. Like, even with Dylan Brooks last night, he's the one guy who looks, you know, maybe you're jacking a couple too many, like we talked about with Brevin Knight saying. Him, Jaren, who contributes with the three blocks, even though he's, what, 1 of 6 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brandon Clark, I mean, 27 points last night, doesn't miss but 2 shots. He coming in as a backup is a defensive presence to where you guys, you know, with those guys inside now, you're making it tough on playoff caliber opponents to score inside. And so, again, on a night where all your main guys are off, you're still able to control a game. Young teams aren't supposed to know how to win, how to find another way to win like that.
Yep.
You know, especially when your big guys are off for the most part. So that's the thing that makes you believe this thing is sustainable. You know, when you're looking at it, I won't lie to you. When this was brought up 4 or 5 weeks ago and people are saying, well, maybe they're going to be in a playoff chase, you're almost snickering at it then. But what's come together would give you hope. The fact that they're finding different ways to win, Jeffrey Wright talked about this morning, he's absolutely right. They're finding different ways to win. All their guys, their main pillars, don't even have to be on. They can beat a playoff-caliber opponent. That's what's so impressive and leads you to believe that maybe even with the toughest schedule the rest of the way, maybe this thing is sustainable, especially since you added a game to your cushion last night by beating Portland.
Yeah, and I mean, and Damian Lillard leaves the game.
With 3 minutes left. So, I mean, that's the thing. He didn't go out in the first half, so that's a full Portland swing at you.
Yep.
And, you know, Damian goes down. It's unfortunate for them, He's already announced he's going to take the time off. You saw that. And rather than being the All-Star game, Devin Booker going to replace him. That was announced this morning. Unfortunate for them. I don't think it's I think he knows if he'd gone any further, maybe that gets more serious.
Yeah.
I doubt he misses much time. I bet he takes this time off, right? And it looked like a tweak. I feel something happening there. Rather than let me push in this and maybe risking the further injury, let me get out now. I'll take the time off from All-Star break. And like he said last night, anyone thinking this thing's over, it ain't over. Like, I think that's a guy that's planning to be healthy for most of the second half of the season.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like, you're sitting here and you have a four-game lead, you know?
It's huge.
And I mean, with the way that the Grizzlies are playing, it's like, yes, they have a tough schedule, the toughest schedule in the NBA for the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they're playing right now, I just don't see them I don't see them sputtering. I mean, they're just playing too well right now as a unit, you know? And then if they at some point ever get Justice Winslow you know, in the game, I mean, it's only going to add to it. I mean, this is a team that knows who it is already, which is crazy. That when you watch them, especially as close as I did and had the opportunity to, I mean, a lot of people don't get that opportunity to sit as close as I did last night.
Including yours truly.
And so you just even watch them on the bench, like seeing how they communicate with each other. Like, this is a team who knows exactly what it is, what it's supposed to be, and they stick to that night in and night out almost every time. And I think that's sort of the difference with this group is, you know, they're not sort of – I mean, yes, it's a process. It's a young team, and they are in some way finding themselves. But – again, I feel like you kind of know what the effort's going to be night in and night out, and that's why I actually have confidence about this team being able to hold on.
I mean, the offensively is what this team was. You know, you're getting up and down the floor. Your pace is as fast as, you know, anybody in the as fast as anybody but the Bucks for the most part in the league. And you're running teams off the floor. You're throwing the alley oops. You're Dylan's shooting well. Jaren was shooting well from three. Ja was let's face it, out of this world from what we thought you were going to get in terms of coming over from Murray State in terms of his shot.
Yep.
All that sort of come back down to earth in a way, especially with Ja. Like last night, they're playing off of him. They're daring. And did he hit any of them? I don't think he did. Like last night, he wasn't hitting the three. They were daring him to shoot the ball. And the same thing for Jaren and those guys. They were off as well. And the fact, again, that you're able to control this with young guys, that you don't see that typically with these young teams. And so that's what's encouraging. It makes you think this thing's sustainable. It gives you reason to hope. So the fool in me that was smirking early on when you say, well, no, I mean, there's real reason to hope here over the last 28, 27 games or whatever it is that's left that they can sustain this. It's going to be tough. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a couple of losing streaks. But the fact that there was a lot to gain again last night, you getting another game on them with two left, particularly with them being at Portland, the fact that you could pick up that win last night when not shooting well, you know, says a lot for where your franchise is right now. Says a lot about that Taylor Jenkins, your young coach, says a lot about where that front office has got you.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a fantastic win for
now,
the Grizzlies last night.
I've got a question for you.
Oh.
Was that your wife next to you last night?
Yes.
That was not the initial plan.
No.
Oh yeah. Okay. Things change. I saw you. You're right. I saw you all on TV.
Did you really?
How did it go?
Oh, it went great.
What do you mean? Did you buy the Grizz bench?
Yeah, but I was unfortunately, and this is something that I'm going to have to take up with the league offices. The stanchion in the backboard of that goal right there on the baseline, you know, it obscured my face, which, you know,
you mean for the folks watching on television, you realize it doesn't do that necessarily for folks that are sitting in there.
Oh,
they
for
all
sure.
See you down there.
But
needed folks on television. That's why I just wanted to make sure I had you cornered there. You really needed those of us watching to see you.
Yes, that
was. Give me a break.
That was a waterproof Teflon Peter Millar coat I had on last night. And do you think that I just wanted people in the arena to see it?
I'm sorry. Could you say that again? That doesn't sound like something you got from Target.
No,
it
was
like
definitely,
you took a step up.
No,
it sounded like New Money took a step up for a big night.
It's a waterproof Teflon Peter Millar jacket.
Oh my Lord.
Peter Millar, I hear Jeffrey Wright and Jeff Calkins talking about that kind of wear all the time. That sounds big time.
Yes, I got this one from James Davis. So shout out to James Davis. My folks over at James Davis took care of me. They take care of me and Penny Hardaway.
There.
You know, me and Penny Hardaway shop at the same place. It's amazing. Anyway, my wife was there, thankfully.
No, I'm messing with you. That must have been nice. I mean, you were literally within, you know, fist bumping distance of the Grizzlies bench.
It's funny you say that because, you know, my wife, God love her, she is a real Grizzlies fan. Like she,
I've sat but next to her. Yeah. She is. She stands up.
She's
she,
a
you know,
huge
standing
Grizzlies
when
fan.
Called for and everything.
She loves Ja. Like every time Ja would check out, she would just yell Ja right at him. I mean, every time. And I'm not really sure what prompted this, but she felt – I think she was inspired by the play of DeAnthony Melton at one point.
I got a text from Connor about DeAnthony Melton. I had to look. I guess he was – was he extra specialized? He caught the alley. He caught an alley.
He was pretty good.
He's always good.
Yeah, like it was another
– I mean, he had 12-4. He was minus four plus or minus. That's not like a great DeAnthony Melton
plus-minus
night, but – You go right ahead with
I think what happened
with hurting DeAnthony?
Well, I think Sam can appreciate a low ankle socks baller, right? Like he's just gonna.
She just appreciated that 12-4 in 26 minutes.
Like he don't need no tights. He don't even need no mid-rise socks. He just needs the low ankle socks, and he's ready to play.
Okay.
You know, like that's a real baller. That's a he don't.
I love DeAnthony Melton. He don't got to resign him.
He don't even need. He'll hoop in pants. Okay. Like that's the kind of guy that DeAnthony Melton is. Like he will hoop in sweats. Okay. Anyway, she was inspired by his play and. You know, she felt compelled to call him out and give him a fist bump. So she said, "DeAnthony, DeAnthony," and she reached her fist out. Now again, we're sitting right across from the Grizzlies bench, and I'm not trying to put nobody on blast. I hope this doesn't get DeAnthony in trouble, but he got off the bench and fist bumped my wife. Like it happened right in front of me. Saw it happen. So that's how close we were. It was hilarious though. And then of course we got scolded by our man Chip, who said, "Don't do that anymore. It's embarrassing."
Thank you, Chip.
Yeah. So, but you know what? That made
you know what? I love your wife's passion.
That made her day.
I love her support of the team. That's what I would tell you. I would tell you what Chip did. There's a little card they give you when you sit close. And I've never sat as close as you do.
Yeah.
But it's basically don't yell anything obscene at the players and don't touch them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it sounds to me like, you know, Sam crossed the line there.
I think she did, but it made her day. And she did apologize to me today. She sent me a text early this morning and said, "I'm sorry if I embarrassed
you." Oh, that
you.
Was unnecessary.
And I said, "Honey, you can never embarrass me. I love you so much." All right, so anyway.
Oh, you're already getting your Valentine's Day sweet brownie points in.
Let me say this. Sitting courtside.
Do you notice more? Do you see the game closer in a different way? Did you have Jaws vision?
Well, it's a fraternity. It really is. It's a fraternity sitting courtside. You have to understand that. Like, it's just like you, and they welcome you with open arms. To like Sabine, for example, she owns Global Cafe. She walked up to me and said, "I heard you on the show yesterday. And I wanted to personally welcome you to courtside." And I said, "Thank you."
Oh, that's where they are.
I said, "Thank you so much." I mean, this is like a family. This is like a real tight-knit family. And so that's one thing you just have to understand about sitting. And you get free beer. You get, like, all the candy and chocolate.
Candy. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about. Okay.
It is a different world, man. It is a different world. And I hope for your sake.
I hope you're grateful for all the folks that have never sat down there.
Very grateful. You
know, everybody that watches it from up close has to use binoculars to see, like you talked about yesterday.
Yes.
Say, who is that?
I mean, I had a chat with Jason Wexler. I mean, it was just like, wow, this is what life is supposed to be.
And
right
did Wexler tell you the secret to all this? That to this magic that's going on for this team that's 28-26 ahead in the All-Star break, were you able to get that out of him?
Well,
like this, that what's, is it all Ja? Is it just a magical potion, a magical, you know what I mean? Just a magical combination of guys that have made this happen much faster than we all anticipated?
Well, I think that's the
thing.
Did
he tell you?
That's the thing about this group is that there really is no magic. It's just shrewd moves. A little bit of luck. A lot of luck.
You know.
But it's shrewd moves and a lot of luck that have resulted in what's happened with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I didn't need to be courtside to see that.
Were you under the basket that Jonas and Whiteside were about to go at?
The first one, yes. The first time.
When
Hassan Whiteside said, "You are soft as bleep."
Oh, I didn't get all. Yeah. You can't get all that from watching on old Fox.
Hassan Whiteside looked at Jonas and said, "You are soft as bleep." It was great. I loved it. Like Hassan Whiteside is a fun dude to root against because he'll give like he kind of soaks it in. You know what I mean? But no, I mean I was right there underneath the basket. So it was Ryan Silverfield, Memphis football coach, was there. You know he wanted to get a
picture. Him sitting front row on the other the other side.
He wanted to take a picture with me.
He wanted to take a picture with you.
Yep. So I took a picture with Ryan Silverfield. So it was a.
Brad, did you catch that? Ryan asked.
I did.
Asked John
I
if he'd
sure
like to take
did.
A picture.
Well, it was nice of.
It's ridiculous.
It was nice of FedEx Forum to to let Ryan Silverfield sit courtside for sure, and I'm glad he got to experience that. He got a little a day off, which I know has not been very frequent for him.
Oh, he deserves it.
For sure.
How about down where you kept your hands off everybody?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was
didn't touch any players?
I was just enjoying. No, I did not touch any players. But I did catch up with Ja's dad. See, this is like, this is what you.
T. Martin.
Not T. Martin.
That'd be T. Morant.
T. Morant. T. Martin.
T. Morant. Beg your pardon.
T. Martin was a national champion.
Wrong last name.
T. Martin would have been in the Tennessee. Now,
T. Morant.
Like, I could have probably caught up with T. Martin. Had he been there. Had T. Martin been there, I would have 100%
been right next to him.
Yeah. So no, it was.
Sorry, T.
That's what I'm trying to you know, convey today. Is that when you sit down there, man, it's like coming out of the cave a little bit. You know.
Oh, I knew that'd be part of the story today, and I'm just glad that you got to see a win so closely.
Oh yeah.
You know, that if that had gone the other way.
No, I did not catch that they introduced Ja Morant as Headband 12. I did not.
Headband 12 Morant.
Okay, that's how it was.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Apparently the people in there. I don't know. I saw that tweet that they. You know, but if you do the playback, you can hear it pretty clearly. It sounds fine. He's got the headband thing working. He's got the goggles thing working. I'm pretty sure you're gonna have a goggles night here at some point. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Seems like you want to capitalize on that.
I want to congratulate all the Memphis media members today. I want to congratulate Jeff Calkins. I want to congratulate Mark Giannotto on, once again, getting the job bump. This has been really big for their careers.
This is starting to reek of jealousy. I'm not going to lie to you. You're looking for a job. Yes, it is. You keep bringing it up. You're monitoring them getting bumps.
Spread it around now.
He is all over Twitter. That's what he's just active. I think he's feeling extra good.
Brad, you don't like that, do you? You don't like that he's all over Twitter?
No.
Because Twitter is the spreader, as you say.
Oh, I don't read it. I'm glad he's on it.
But he gives you some stuff.
It's a great forum. I actually, this is why you cover games. This is what you work for. See, when you're in there, you wait for these moments because if you're in there and you're a grinder like Jeff, Mark, you arrive at a Ja Morant moment where you become, as Jason did when that movie came out, you become part of the story and vis-a-vis you get the bump.
And Ja is spreading it around, baby.
Get that bump.
I love Ja on Twitter.
I want to keep it up.
Don't go down. Keep it up.
He keeps it real too. Like today, he was tweeting. I did read right before the show. I pulled it up, and the 92.9
control what you can control.
Yeah,
that
like
kind
it's
of thing. Like,
he's
you know,
really good. Yeah,
right. He doesn't seem like a guy who allows it to be a distractor.
Right.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. So anyway, nice win for the Grizzlies. Any parting thoughts before we move on to Myron Metcalf?
Last night, the initial was, can Ja make it? And you know, Booker's been announced as the replacement for Dame Lillard. Look, you could have made a good. I think you can make a great case for Ja in the sense that you look at where they are in the standings. That's his best case. You look at his efficiency level, basically shooting 50% from three. What you cannot argue is Booker's production. It's like 26 points. Him too, 50% overall from field goal percentage. Ja is 50% overall, not from three. You can't argue Booker's production. That said, the NBA wanted they gave it to Booker because he's paid his dues. If you wanted to reward the Grizzlies, which the team that deserved the rewarding, you would have picked Ja.
Yeah.
That said, they went with a guy that paid his dues. You can't really argue it. His production's right there. He's all-star level on a bad team.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was nice to be courtside last night. It was, like I said, just a different experience, man. I don't know how you would compare it. And honestly, I don't know how I'm going to go back to anything other than the courtside.
Well, as much as I loved it for you, it doesn't matter as much as the Grizzlies' four-game lead heading into the All-Star.
I would agree with that slightly. I loved it for you. Slight edge. I mean, my wife got to fist bump the Anthony Melton. Uh-huh. That's a lifelong memory right there, man. You know what I mean?
Chip warned you don't do again. Or you might not be welcome back.
That's exactly right. We certainly don't want to embarrass Clyde. That's what we don't want to do.
Love your passion, Sam, for this team.
But anyway, fun night last night down at FedEx Forum. All right, we will come back. Myron Metcalf's going to join us. Memphis plays Cincinnati tonight. So that's a huge game for really both
Doris
teams.
Doris Burke on the call tonight. Doris
Burke's on the call. Yeah.
ESPN game.
So we'll talk to Myron Metcalf about all that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I went to Triumph Bank the other day to set up an account. Met with a banker named Holly Bronson. And here's what Bronson told me. The first thing you need to do is put my number in your cell phone. I can't help you if you don't call me. Yes, she really said that. Are you as stunned as I was? But that's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, because of people like Holly Bronson. She'd worked at other banks before Triumph, of course. Given the way that banks are gobbled up by bigger banks these days, she'd actually worked at five different banks. But those banks didn't deliver the kind of service that Bronson wanted to give her customers. So Bronson made the switch. And here's the thing. Nearly all of her customers made the switch with Bronson because they understood what a difference personal service can make. Bronson insists she's nothing special, of course. She rattled off the names of a whole bunch of bankers at Triumph who take their jobs and service as seriously as she does. But I can tell you it's the first time a banker ever gave me her cell phone number. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Robert Irwin Jewelers has the trifecta this Valentine's Day. Spend $99 or more on a piece of jewelry she'll love, and you'll get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates. While supplies last, in-store only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Four Memphis locations and the new one in Little Rock.
You've got a car to sell, so you start thinking, what, this is going to be fun? Ha! You're really thinking, what a pain. It's going to take forever. I'm going to have to haggle with dealers or handle everything myself.
It doesn't have to be that way. GiveMeTheVIN.com is a much better way to go. Hi, I'm John Clay Wolf, and working with my company, GiveMeTheVIN.com is simple, fast, and I guarantee you more money for your car. Stop placing your own ads. Stop letting dealerships rob your trade-in and quit wasting time standing around at CarMax. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and give it a try. Just punch in your VIN number or plate number, post a few pics, and presto, you get an offer for your vehicle within seconds, and I give you more money guaranteed, or I send you a check for $100. This is smart, new, easy way to sell your vehicle for more money, and we'll come pick it up at your house or office. Take a couple of minutes and go to GiveMeTheVIN.com now.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
It's the most wonderful time.
It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Tax season, that is. Because filing with Credit Karma Tax is 100% free from start to finish. Credit Karma Tax's streamlined filing process makes it a breeze. Just answer some questions and you'll see only the info you need to fill out. Worried about the math? Don't sweat it. Credit Karma Tax automatically checks our calculations for accuracy. Credit Karma Tax really does make tax season the best season of all. File now for free.
When you order Little Caesars Delivery, you'll save $5 or more over the other national chains on delivered pizza. It's the cherry on top of your pizza. Well, not an actual cherry, more of a metaphorical cherry, which is kind of a good band name.
Hello, we are Metaphorical Cherry!
Pizza, pizza.
Savings claim is based on the price of a delivered pizza order with delivery fees for the top four national pizza chains on a national basis. Comparison is based on one more large Little Caesars pizzas with up to five toppings and the other three pizza chains comparable large pizzas sold at everyday menu prices. Delivery available from participating locations with online orders only plus sales tax.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis taking on Cincinnati later tonight on the road. Myron Metcalf covers college basketball for ESPN. You can catch him on ESPN Radio. He joins us now. Myron, what's happening, man?
How you doing, brother?
Man, everything is good in Memphis. Over under, Ja Morant did not make the All-Star game this year, and I think they ended up going with Devin Booker for the replacement for Damian Lillard. But if you had to say over under 7.5 All-Star appearances for Ja Morant, what would you say?
Over. I mean, I think for a guy his age, yeah, over. I think he's going to be here. I think it's going to be his league. I mean, him and Zion look like the real deal. At 1 and 2 and kind of that next wave of talent. Now, Ja might be disappointed he's not in this year, but he's going to have a whole lot of all-star appearances, I think, before it's all said and done.
Were you one of those guys who just believed he would step in and immediately be awesome? Or has he even surprised you a little bit with how quickly he has grasped this?
I think he's surprised everybody. But I did think, I mean, for me, like, I'm one of those guys where I saw the numbers. I knew the advanced stats on him, but when I went to see them play in Hartford and they played Marquette in Florida State, I thought, my goodness, I mean, this is a dude who, when he gets NBA talent around him, he might be unstoppable. You know, you could see that. Like, that Marquette game, and Marquette's a team that another solid year where they're going to be a tournament team. Marcus Howard could win the Wooden Award. They had the Hauser twin, and Ja Morant just destroyed him. And you could just see he was a step above anybody at that level. But to see him pick up some of the concepts and just to play so loosely, I mean, I think that to me is what's so unique is he plays like a dude who's been there for a decade.
You know.
No,
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Myron.
No, you're good.
I was jiving with what you were saying so much. You realize to, we talk so much about Ja, and he's really the thing that's made it this thing extra special. But you were just covering, I mean, Jaren, too, with as young as he is, Brandon Clark, I mean, Dylan Brooks, the way this team is built. Dylan Brooks went to a Final Four. He's got his teammate Jordan Bell with him now. Do you like the way it's built with these young guys? We're trying to look at other young nucleuses and trying to figure out, you know, who over the next 4 or 5 years could sort of, hey, who's got that? I mean, what do you think of the way this thing's been put together, this young nucleus of guys? Really, you're talking about 24 and younger.
It feels like their time is not just coming, it's now, right? Like, so all those guys, I've had good opportunities to kind of really see firsthand earlier in their careers. Dylan Brooks at Oregon.
Yep.
When he made that Final Four run, I covered the regional there. When they torched Duke, you know, he got in that whole thing with Coach K. And the thing I loved about Dylan was, like, he just had this chip, man. Like, he still has it today. Like, I'm going to prove to you all that I'm the real deal. And even had that as a college player. Then Jaren Jackson, I did my first national telecast as an analyst for ESPN Radio, Minnesota, Michigan State, and just to watch him. And I was telling people in that game, like, this dude has a game that's built for the NBA. And then you see Ja, the other pieces they have around them. I think that Memphis is the team, the young team going forward. And I think they're also in a situation where there's a new wave of players who are 27 and under, I'll say, who are going to have some key decisions to make here in the coming years about where they want to play basketball for the duration of their careers, or at least in their primes. It's going to be hard to turn down a nucleus like the one Memphis has. So I think that that's not only a good young team, that's a good young team that's positioned to grab a 28, 29-year-old guy who's just hitting his stride and wants a max deal. Memphis feels like the perfect place, but I think they're going to be a team that everybody's going to have to deal with here going forward.
No question about that. On to college basketball, Myron. The University of Memphis is taking on Cincinnati tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Myron, if you had to describe this Memphis basketball season, how would you do it? How would you assess what Memphis has done this year and what they are?
Inconsistent. You know, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. What you saw Saturday kind of summed up who they are. And then just before that, they crushed Temple, beat Connecticut. But I think the floor, like, it's still hard for me to get that Tulsa game out of my mind. And I wonder what that did to them as a team. Like, I think my experience, when you see teams that get beat down like that, it takes them a while to rebuild their confidence. And then they get into these difficult situations, especially on the road, and they just don't know how to react because they feel like, oh, man, here it comes again. And I think that's part of this Memphis team, too, is just losing some confidence with what, you know, being 3-3 in the last six games. And I think they're 5-5 over their last 10, maybe falling off the bubble. So. But I think this is what you get, you know. This is the group you get. This is not the team that fought so hard with Oregon, against Oregon, when James Wiseman was in foul trouble. It's not the team that showed a lot of heart and guts in the second half against Tennessee to win there. This feels like a group that's trying to figure it out still, and you don't want to be figuring it out in mid-February.
I know Cincinnati, you know, is coming off a road loss at UConn. But before that, they'd won 5 in a row, and two of those included Houston and Wichita State. Does it feel like to you sort of have they done enough to get back into the picture for you, playing its way back into tournament contention? We thought for a while, you know, these Cincinnati games are looking like, I mean, particularly after they lose to Colgate, Cincy may not help you. But at this point, it looks like Memphis's best win. Does that look like a team that's getting ready to be a tournament team to you with the way they're playing?
Yeah, I mean, look at this bubble. This might be the softest bubble we've had in a decade, you know? So, for me, you're going to have a bunch of teams that right now are kind of hanging on the edge that are going to keep playing and just winning games. Man, that might even be quality games. They're just going to keep winning, and they're going to find their way onto the bubble and in the field. I just think a team like UConn, like you said, they'd won 5 in a row. They lost in overtime on the road to Cincy. I mean, Cincy lost there, I'm sorry. On the road, those teams feel like they're right there to me. If you look at the net rankings and what they did last week when they unveiled the top four seeds, they kind of stuck to the net. I mean, the top four seeds were the top four teams in net rankings. So if you're in that top 60 range, in the net, I think you have a chance to change that over the course of the next six, seven, eight games. I think Memphis, Connecticut, Memphis, Cincinnati, those are all games that I'm sure the committee is watching and trying to figure out how many teams from the American are going to end up getting in. But this feels like a really crucial stretch for all three of those teams.
Myron, given that James Wiseman left the team essentially before, you know, the season really ever got started, and he obviously lost DJ Jeffries a couple of weeks ago to a torn PCL. Is it fair to criticize him whatsoever? I mean, is there a mix? Is there, okay, you can't really criticize him for the entire season, but things that have happened within this, like I guess for you, what's the right mix of how much of this falls on Penny Hardaway, if anything?
I think you have to put it on Penny. To me, you can't lower the bar just when drama hits, right? That's not fair to anybody. And I doubt Penny would want it that way. You lose DJ, that's terrible, right? You can't anticipate something like that, key player. You built your entire system around James White. But I still think there are a lot of teams, a lot of coaches out there who would say, I got Precious, I got Tyler, I got Alex, I got Boogie, I got, at least on paper, okay, I can do something with that. So for me, especially in a year like this where there's no one great, I think it stands out even more because there are so many coaches who are just coaching their way into the tournament. They don't have a lot of talent. A few teams have two pros. Two, like, legit pros. How many teams have, like, two legit pros right now? Not many. So everyone is playing with a similar talent pool. And I think when you recruit that kind of class, as opposed to if he just recruited James Wiseman and everybody else was a three-star kid, then yes. That, you know, you lose him, that's it. But this is one of the best recruiting classes in the country. You recruit a bunch of five-star kids. And the idea is that you're going to take those guys, and even if you have some bumps along the way, you'll figure it out. So I think Penny, as the CEO of this operation, he's got to take that blame for this team just being a really, really inconsistent and inefficient offensive team. Great defensive team, one of the best in America, top 15 in America. But then you look at offensively what they've done. I mean, 40 points against Tulsa on the road, that was how bad it can get for this team. And that's up to a coach, I think, to figure that out, especially with the talent pool he's had.
So over these next eight games, right, Myron, as they're sort of starting tonight, as they're fighting for their at-large life, which, you know, amazingly, like we've talked about in this year, is still possible. Is it fair to say that these next eight games with, you know, sort of everything that's happened will tell us anything about Penny as a coach? Or is that unfair?
Oh, the next two will, I think. I don't think you need six. Next two. I mean, you lose a Cincy, you lose a Connecticut. They lose a Cincy, they're going to lose a Connecticut, right? That's how I feel, at least. Like, to me, you got to beat Cincy tonight because I don't see this being a team that has figured out how to win against that adversity, especially on the road. I think you got to get that tonight. That's obviously the better win, too, for your resume compared to Connecticut. But I think we will find out about Penny. And then the scary thing is, okay, you beat Cincy or you lose to Cincy in UConn, then you come back, you get East Carolina, and then you got to host Houston. You know, you could be in one of those 1-4 stretches in your last five games, and then it's over. So I think, to me, I want to see the energy they come out with, and can they be a consistent team, especially offensively? Can they be a smart team offensively? Can they avoid the turnovers? Can they correct the mistakes they made? To me, turnovers, that's culture, that's coaching. And when you're one of the worst teams in the country in terms of turnovers, that is, especially when your head coach is one of the greatest point guards of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me has been something that's hard to stomach when you're like, wait a minute, why are these guys so undisciplined in how they handle the ball when they got that guy as the coach? And it's not that Penny isn't teaching it. It's finding a way to teach it so that these guys get it, and then they do it, mm-hmm. which is hard to do.
How does Josh Pastner and Georgia Tech lead wire to wire against Louisville, top five team in the country, and a team that's won 10 in a row? That's college basketball this year, it feels like, Myron. Just really right there in a nutshell.
But that's why people were like, Memphis, you know, you're talking about Memphis getting in or getting out. Just get in.
Just get in.
Like, just get in. Mm-hmm. If you can get in, get to the party, man. You can sneak in the VIP. You know, you can talk to the bouncer and get your way behind the ropes. Trust me, fellas, I've done it. But you just get into the party, and then you figure it out from there. because this is the weakest field that I've seen in terms of, like, there's no great team you have to go through. Louisville, that does sum up the season. They lost to Georgia Tech. Jordan Ward got destroyed. He was nothing. I mean, that's your NBA prospect. He did nothing against that team. Vandy was 1-8, I think, in the SEC, and they had a double-digit lead on Kentucky in the first half. So I think people got to stop thinking, oh, man, a 7th seed, a 9th seed, that's the difference. Just get in and then figure it out from there, because I don't think we have a great team in this field.
Who are you most confident about? Is it Baylor? Is it the Zags? Like, is there a team Myron Metcalf would put his stamp on right now in this, what, albeit wide-open field this year, more wide-open than ever?
I mean, to me, with the teams not having any offensive superstars, you look at who's doing it defensively, and Kansas is playing the best defense in America. Baylor's right behind them. I think those two teams would be hard to deal with, just because in a year like this, if they're holding teams to 55 points in the tournament, you're not winning that game.
That's right.
And then Gonzaga, man, they killed St. Mary's by 30. San Diego State just destroyed Rhode Island. So I think those teams, Kansas, Gonzaga, San Diego State, and Baylor. But I also don't know, man. I don't know. I've seen a lot of bad basketball.
That's just true.
Gonzaga hasn't been challenged in 2 months. San Diego State hasn't played top-level competition since the start of conference play. Dayton has been really good, but what are they going to do when they face a really good team in the tournament and Obi Toppin's in foul trouble, which is a possibility? So it feels like all of this is a toss-up, man.
Myron, is there a chance? Now, we've talked about this, and you got to find 68 teams, so I think I know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. I mean, Houston feels like right now the only team that is for sure in from the AAC. They're the only team right now that I feel like is firmly in the tournament as an at-large. If they go on to win the AAC tournament, is there a chance that the AAC is a one-bid league?
Oh, man. I think since he gets in, right? Like, it's possible. I don't see it. I mean, I think if you look at the bubble, because you're not just comparing these American teams within the league. Like, you got to look at the fact that, like, there are no bid stealers. And there are no teams in these smaller leagues that are like, oh, they're going to come up and steal bid. So I'll say at least a 2, but there's certainly room for disaster in these next 7 games. If you're Cincy and you fall off and stumble, if you're UConn, I mean, that can end pretty quickly too. Memphis has a good chance to play their way off the bubble. So one team isn't crazy, but I feel like they'll get a second team in at least. But this is the first time I felt like in mid-February, I got no clue what's going to happen on Selection Sunday, because I do think the committee is going to be working into the conference tournaments trying to figure it out, because teams are that close.
I got to ask you, Myron, school me, Marcus Howard. I haven't watched a ton of him just because he's a Marquette guy. I don't watch a ton of them, but obviously became the Big East all-time leading scorer. He's 5'11", is averaging 27 points. Is that a guy that's – you figure he's going to be a pro somewhere. Is that a guy that could make it in the NBA? I mean, he broke Lawrence – what's crazy is he broke Lawrence Moten's Big East record. I love Lawrence Moten as a college player. He never amounted to much in the NBA. Like, what happens with Marcus Howard? What do you think?
Well, he's got to guard Ja in the next level, right?
Yes.
Can he do it?
No.
That's the question. That's the question.
Yes.
And now, I think the other thing about Marcus Howard, who is great, they work really hard to help him get shots. Now, he can create, but they put in a lot of work to free him up.
Yes, sir.
NBA's not going to put in all that work to give you those shots. So I think he'll get picked, because I think NBA teams will see the way he shoots and go, man, we can figure it out, but I don't think there are any guarantees. Yeah. Like, look at the monsters, man, playing point guard. You got to guard Luka. You got to guard Trae Young, starting at 75 feet from the basket, because he'll pull up like this. Dame. Like, this is a scary league in terms of the point guards, the smaller point guards. All those dudes are just ridiculous athletes. I don't know if Marcus Howard is that, but he certainly, I think, will get into the league and have a chance.
Hey, Myron, man, we appreciate the
Thank
time
you,
as
brother.
Always, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, he is Myron Metcalf, covers college basketball for ESPN. Big game tonight, obviously, for the University of Memphis. I think the biggest question on a lot of people's minds is whether or not Precious Achiuwa will play, because you got Precious, you got Chance. No Precious, no Chance. Is he going to play? Is he expected to play? I've got the answer for you. I'll tell you when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Gary Parrish.
So, be frustrated if you want. I certainly understand that. But being mad at the head coach is dumb. Literally no head coach would be able to overcome what Penny Hardaway is dealing with right now. And if you think I'm wrong, just give me the example of a coach who did it. I asked 177,000 people on Twitter for one Saturday night. 43 hours later, I'm still waiting for somebody to provide a suitable answer.
The Gary Parrish Show, weekdays 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
20 ribeyes for $30 at three locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. Three locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
Hey, if Memphis takes the 2020 College Basketball Championship, every bet you make at the Fitz between November 1st and tip-off April 6th is a winning bet. Luck lives here. See Sportsbook for details. Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Ride with the country's number one auto insurer, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle, with a big shout out to my awesome team now licensed in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Call or text 901-767-7744. We're still all better looking than a lizard.
Robert Irwin Jewelers has the trifecta this Valentine's Day. Spend $99 or more on a piece of jewelry she'll love, and you'll get a dozen roses and a box of chocolates. While supplies last, in-store only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Four Memphis locations and the new one in Little Rock.
Tracy Morgan returns.
Could have been worse. I could have got hit by Bob's discount furniture truck.
Live on stage with a brand new show.
When I was in that wheelchair, I still shopped at Walmart.
No Disrespect Tour.
When I was in that coma, y'all, I saw the white light. But I ain't go to it because I thought it was the police. Huh?
This Friday at Horseshoe Casinos, Bluesville. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com and HorseshoeTunica.com.
I miss doing this.
Check more at TracyMorgan.com.
I really miss y'all. I love you.
Brian Scalabrini from Scal and Pals. I want to talk to you guys about Hims. All the talk this year has been about hair loss. You got to look good. You got to feel good. Let's start the new year off right by getting your hair game on point. I'm on camera all the time, and I cannot have my hairline creeping back. That's why I went to Hims. Listen, guys, baldness, that's optional. If it starts to move backwards, you got any bald spots, that doesn't mean you can't check out Hims. Hims helps guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and prescription solutions backed by science. Right now, my listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to forhims.com/scal. That's forhims.com/scal. Prescription requires an online consultation with physicians who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Offer valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's forhims.com/scal.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC
PC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's Sports Station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, what were the circumstances that Jay Smooth was bumping this song? What would that have looked like? Were you driving downtown? Like, what was it? Was it, like, in the mirror?
What you talking about? Why wouldn't you get behind this song?
I'm saying, like, I do.
To Rick James.
I'm just trying to see, like, what were the situations where you were bumping this song? Right? Was it, like, a school dance or something?
Not a school dance, fool. It says I grow older and I start to develop an appreciation for older music.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? An appreciation for Rick James.
Yes.
For what the new music, right, the shoulders that it sits on. And it's a lot of it's Rick James, bruh, and especially the Temptations.
Okay.
So, summertime, in the summer. Drop the windows of the Altima, and you're going to roll this, especially when, you know, you get that paycheck standing on the top.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Mm-hmm.
Memphis, was that good enough for you?
I did not know you had an Altima. That was news.
Back in the day, yeah.
You've had them all, Jason. You really have. And now you're in a Mazda. You really have. You deserve it, man. A lot of people are asking tonight about, as you roll your eyes, Jason just rolled his eyes. He does this. He'll go back and forth with people on Twitter, and he'll get, like, a response he doesn't like, and he'll roll.
I know. I've already erased, like, three responses to Julie already.
This is why I don't.
We can do it right here. She's clearly listening.
This is why I don't do Twitter exchanges, man. You know? Because, like, you just – it's like, what do I say? Do I need to go in? Like, and I end up doing exactly what you did and just deleting all of them.
Well, I'm not going to delete all of them. Her point is actually applies to what you're about to address, which is Precious Achiuwa. Julie's contention is that she couldn't disagree more with Myron Metcalf. That was her point. And it's the same. I've heard the argument. Penny has lost a ton in injuries. So basically, you can't criticize anything that's happened to Memphis this year. And I do have a hard time with that. The point Myron made is the point, John, we've both made. I think we're different on this. Since the loss to South Florida,
yep.
It's this. I know you don't have DJ Jeffries anymore. But this offense was outside the top 200 when you did.
Yes.
We can go back and forth on who the best players are, okay? Julie says they've lost their top two. Preston Achiuwa is a lottery pick. He's in the middle, okay? You got 6-3 from him last game. There is no reason with the talent that's left. It's almost a slap in the face to the other guys that are playing when you say this.
Yeah.
With the talent that's left, there's enough to be better than 200th offensively. I don't understand why people can't get this. Penny Hardaway can be doing a fantastic job in some areas. And then some other areas need to improve, okay? And Myron hit on the thing, like, here's the one thing. As many guards as you've got, these turnovers, right, it doesn't need to be this kind of issue. I realize we can chalk it up to them being young. But as a point guard, that'd be the one, like, Penny realizes value of the ball. And the fact is, you can tell them all you want to, but if they're not getting it, they're not getting it. Well, who does that fall back on? Does it fall back on a young team or the coach? It falls back on the coach. I'll go back to the point. The idea, right, that because you've lost a couple of guys, I don't want it to sound like, you know, I'm callous to what Penny's lost here, because I think the fact is 17-6 with what you've lost is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say that in the same breath, right, that what in some areas you're amazing. Look at what this team's doing defensively. Again, they're 12th in defensive efficiency with what they've got. It's okay to say, man, they've got that licked. There's an actual identity there,
yep.
And say, but man, there's too much talent here to be this bad offensively, and not just chalk it up to injury. Because ladies and gentlemen, they won 10 straight after they lost James Wiseman.
They did,
okay?
Including a win against
Tennessee.
And I know
it was against bad opponents. Now everybody wants to say, well, it was just a joke, right?
It was
they were playing bad. You won at Tennessee. There's nothing you cannot take that away from them. No matter what Tennessee has done the rest of this season, that was an absolutely good
win.
And
they didn't have Lester in those games either.
John, they didn't have Lester. They got through it. And here's the point. You can say that they've done a good job in some areas and say, here's some areas we think you need to adjust, especially when you're talking about a second-year coach. No one is saying Penny Hardaway should be fired. When you say the offense should be better than 190th in the country with the talent you've got, I think it's a fair criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
We can sit here and paint it with a broad brush if we want to and say, man, look at what they've lost. No coach in America could deal with this. But the fact is they were already trending in the wrong direction offensively when they were healthier than this. You understand what I'm saying? When they had DJ Jeffries.
Right.
And so, look, I don't want people think too when you criticize, you're rooting against Penny or something. Want to put you? This is all. Are you kidding me? We're all rooting for Penny. Look at what Mark Giannotto wrote a great article that's talked about what this has done from an economic standpoint for Memphis. Who's not rooting for that? That's why we all said you had to make this happen. So you're absolutely rooting for Penny to be a success, and you can do that in the same breath and say, hey, man, here's some areas I think this team should be a little bit better. The bottom line is Penny has done a fantastic job in his second year at 17-6 with what this team's been through this season. That is the absolute bottom line. And that said, John, they shouldn't be losing to South Florida at home.
That's right.
Okay, with what they've got left. There's again, it's a slap in the face of Tyler Harris, of Lester Quinones, of Boogie. It's a slap in those guys that you think
all of a sudden, those guys were four-star recruits.
All of a sudden, this season shouldn't count because of who they lost. They're not going to win anything else. Let's chalk it all up. That's ridiculous. There's enough talent, and we should give – Penny went out and got it. That's what's great about this. And Myron's right, because of this soft bubble and because of how good – see, he was talking about these other teams defensively and why Kansas is playing the best defense. Memphis is top 15 in the country.
Right.
And so if you can just make a couple of adjustments, and really it's just about getting a couple of guys confident. You've done it with Boogie Ellis for the most part. Lester's almost there. Really just needed now from Precious. John, if you can get a little bit more consistent offensively with this defense in this year, you can make a run. In this great season, this great job he's already done can be even greater. I don't understand why people don't understand in 2020 you can say a person's done a good job and then still have some criticisms of the job. Ladies and gentlemen, they're college coaches. They're set up for this. This is part of the gig, right? Judgment. Talking about where they can improve, where they're strong. This is part of the game. And so that's, again, I love Julie to death because she's a listener. She listens to us every day. But and really, this is just – I'm using her tweet as an example, but I don't understand why it's all or nothing for us in this area. So y'all are criticizing Penny. So hell, those guys want him out of here. You understand what I'm saying?
No,
understand, it's perfectly fair. These are college coaches. Are you kidding me? It's the nature of sports. Mm-hmm. It's what we do. And ladies and gentlemen, you can say someone's doing good and bad in the same sentence. Okay. This case, we're not even saying Penny's doing bad. We literally just said great job. Offense could be better. And if it was, you're gonna make the tournament. You might have a chance at a run with as soft as this thing is this year.
Can we get a round of applause, please? Can we get a round of applause?
Hey,
Use
the common sense board. You know what I'm saying? Just hit somebody over the head with the common sense.
Well, because if you look at the roster, according to 247, I mean, this is what Memphis still has. Precious Achiuwa, 5-star.
Folks act like he's just a scrub off 6-3 at South Florida. Like, forgot the guy's a walking double-double.
Boogie Ellis.
And Precious, he's going to go in the lottery.
Boogie Ellis is a 4-star. Tyler Harris was a 4-star. Lester Quinones was a 4-star. Damian Ball was a 4-star. I mean, it's not like these guys are projects that they're dealing with. Yes, they're young. No question about that. And everybody understands that. Everybody knows the score there. But I'm in agreement with everything you said. And I think the fallacy is perhaps that there are people out there who think that this team should still be a Sweet 16 contender or
absolutely not.
That's the fallacy.
No one is saying that.
We're just saying
that changed when Wiseman left. Absolutely.
We're just saying there's a line between being a Sweet 16 contender and losing at home to South Florida. That's all I think we're saying is like,
there's
an intersection and a Venn diagram, right, between being awesome and not losing at home to South Florida. You know what I mean? And not losing by 40 on the road at Tulsa when you had DJ. You know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, they played well enough. If they get a decent game from Precious, they win the South Florida game, right? Part of the deal was Precious got in foul trouble. He got frustrated. When that happens to Precious, and I think we all agreed it frustrated him to a point he was out of the game plan, shooting some. Who do y'all think that's on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that on? It goes back to the coach, right? And that's where I go back. That's where Penny, right, has got to get his guy and get him back in because everything else at that point is pretty much clicking. You're getting what you need pretty much from your other guys. And so, again, that's coaching. And there's so many different layers to coaching.
Yep.
But the bottom line is getting guys to do what you want them to do. This one has been struggling with turnovers all season long. We all know if there's any problems with this Memphis team, it's on that offensive side.
Yep.
And, again, it's a hard thing to do to get a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to do what you want to do. The nature of it is roller coaster.
Yep.
It's season after season. We've seen it here. And again, I would tell you, because I want a bottom line to make sure everybody realizes this, the record speaks for itself, 17-6. In a year, you lose James Wiseman. You lose DJ Jeffries, Lester for a significant amount of time. Boogie was 0 for the duration in conference there for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Things were coming apart. to pull this thing back together, right, and I realize the most recent thing is a loss to South Florida, but to pull it back together for it to not to get it, crazier than it already is, you know, Boogie's talking about, you know, yeah, there's some darkness or whatever, could have been much worse, is a hell of a job by Penny. And I think it can get even better if they can make some adjustments offensively. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. And you can lament the turnover rate. And you can lament the shooting, and still believe all those things are true. Again, nobody said this team should. No, at least I can best I can tell. Nobody said this team should still make a Sweet 16. And nobody said that Penny Hardaway should be fired or his job be in any jeopardy whatsoever.
Dude, he's doing. I mean, my gosh, did you see the money he's made him? It's a great decision. You got it. You got the building filled up. And now to keep it going, right? You wanna make sure you're maximizing what you've got in terms of talent, right? So that talent keeps coming,
right?
So you keep this thing going for year after year after year.
Yeah.
We're all rooting for the same thing, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
And those of us that are criticizing a few things that Penny's done in year two doesn't mean they're rooting against the program or saying this thing's doomed to hell or anything like that. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't understand in 2020 why we operated such extremes and yet. We all realize if we look at each other in the eye, that's where we're at these days.
Yeah.
You either got it, you either have or have not. You're either with them or against them.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.